Let's pray. Jesus, you are the champion, and you did make a way for us to come to God. Right now, that's what we're looking to do. We want to come to you, God. And Jesus, I pray you would pave the way for us right now. Each person in this room needs something different today. And Jesus, I pray you'd pave the way for them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, if you had to answer, this is a goofy question. I feel like after that worship, I don't even want to talk about something goofy. But goofy question. Greatest sports moment in American history, in U.S. history, what would you say? If you're Josh Patterson, I could already see it on his lips. Royals winning the World Series in 2015.
Actually, it was when Maywood won the softball game last week.
Maywood winning the softball game last week. Yeah. Could be that. It could be a lot of things. One thing that came to my mind this last week, I wasn't even alive when this happened, but way back in 1980, 1980, if I can get this clicker to work. So back then in the Olympics in America, just college students would go, like professional athletes didn't go. But the Russians had all their professional athletes in it, and the Russian hockey team had already like totally beat the NHL All-Stars, and yet a bunch of college students somehow won the Olympic gold medal that year, and it's this miracle on ice. There's some good documentaries on it. Marcus can tell you about a good documentary on it if you ask him. So one of the documentaries talks about Hal Brooks, this coach that they had, and the whole reason I tell you about this goofy sports thing is to get to this quote. This is what Herb Brooks told his team. He said, "This is your moment. You're meant to be here." And then they went on to do stuff that nobody thought was possible. They might not even have thought it was possible to win the gold medal. When I saw that quote this week and I thought about church today, I knew we were going to be talking about Maywood's vision, and it's a big vision, what we think God wants us to do. I believe this about us. Some of you in the room right now, I don't know that you believe it about yourself. I know some of your stories, and for some of you, it's a big deal just that you're in the room right now. But I think this is true. I think this is your moment. I think God meant for you to be here today. So if you believe that, then you're all in. Then listen to the rest of the sermon. If you don't believe it, like, then I guess you can catch up on a nap or something, because maybe you don't, you know. So if you believe God wants me to be a part of Maywood, if you really believe that, then we're going to tell you what it means to be a part of Maywood. So we've got two passages of Scripture we're always talking about as a staff. Bob, take us to the first one.
Sure. And let me just say, and this is, you need to hear this, please, deep in your heart. The best future of Maywood is out there. It is not in the past, okay? But for the future to be the best, what Jake just said about you is true. This is your time. And so some of you are just beginning, but if you'll stay with it a while, you'll go a lot further than just beginning, all right? So one of our passages that we read every Monday, I've gotten where I can quote it in staff meeting. I can't do the Ephesians passage, but every Monday we read this. So let's start. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Let's talk about the word authority. When Jesus went to the temple and cleansed the temple, and if you're not familiar with that story, they had a lot of things going on in the temple that God didn't like. And so Jesus actually kicked over some tables where they were changing money. And then it's like going into a restaurant and picking up the cash register and throwing it across the room. You got an idea for that? He found some cords on the ground, and he began whipping the cattle, and they stampeded out of the place. And, you know, can you imagine that happening in church today? I mean, we have security here. Chris, you'd have to go to work. All right? And so security came to Jesus, and they said, "What are you doing here? Who gave you the authority to do this?" Now, what is the authority question? The authority is, who is in charge here? Okay? They were saying, are you in charge here? We're in charge here. All right, you got that? So how did Jesus have authority? How do we know it? First of all, he died for us on the cross. And that says to us he has the character that we can trust to be in control. But he also rose from the dead, which says he has the power to be in control. So we got that? Everybody says, sure, we know this. What's interesting is, look at your own heart. He has given you authority. He has delegated the authority of who is in control here to people like you and me. You say, you're kidding me. No, that's the truth. And we're going to get into this in a minute because we're going to talk about things that you can do that Jake and I can't do. And we're going to have Donnie Moat come up here and share some music with us. And I guarantee you, Jake and Bob would look like idiots if we tried it. All right, maybe we'd be like, oh, you got to be kidding me. All right. And there are people that you can bring out of addiction. If they looked at me, they'd think I was their PO, you know. What are you doing, man? All right. And so you have a role to play in this community that nobody else can. So he has delegated the I am in control to you. So what does it look like for you and me to be in control? I hope you hear that. That's a big thought. So let's look at it. What does it say? He says, go and make disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is somebody who follows Jesus. And so our job is to help other people follow Jesus. And so instead of erecting hurdles to come to Jesus, which we can do with our mouth or with our Facebook entries or with other stuff, instead of erecting hurdles, we can build bridges and we can say, hey, take me by the hand and walk with me to follow Jesus. All right? That's our job. He puts us in control. He doesn't send angels out of heaven to do that job for us. Jesus doesn't leave heaven and walk down here among us in a body anymore and say, hey, come follow me. He's given it to us to do. All right? The second thing he says is to baptize people. Now, right behind us is our baptistry. It holds about 400 gallons of water. Okay? Nobody here can pick up 400 gallons of water, but every time we baptize folks, it gets all of them. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to immerse, to put people above and in front and behind and all around. He wants us to immerse people in the life of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Who does that? We do that. That's our job. And it's a great privilege to do, okay? And that's the job of the church. But who's the church? It's people like you all right? And then he says to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So let's talk about how do we teach people? We teach people with our lives. All right? That is our job. And I so want to encourage you that teaching is done better outside of these four walls than inside the four walls. You know, Cassie came up and prayed with me a minute ago. Cassie, I'm just going to set you out. All right? And Cassie is this fantastic waitress up at Inglewood Cafe. She's been there forever. And amen. And as I prayed for her, I said, you know, Cassie, I told God, not Cassie, she was listening, I hope. Her ministry touches how many people every week? And she has a smile on her face, and she goes out of her way to share the love of God. I've seen her at funerals that we've done for her customers that she's taken care of, and she has brought people presents and gifts. I mean, that's where the ministry takes place. So God has said, all the authority, I have it, but I'm giving it to you, and you have a responsibility, and that is to help people follow Jesus, to help them somehow get immersed in the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach people by your behavior and your words how to do the things that Jesus did. So now Jake is going to take us to the next step. That's sort of the big picture of what we're supposed to do. He's going to talk about how it practically works out in the church.
So some of you are in the room right now, and you're like, I didn't really sign up for this. I came to church today because I want help getting clean. Or I came to church today because I want to impress somebody. Or I came to church today because I didn't have anything better to do. If you want to be part of Jesus' team, this is where Jesus is headed. Jesus is headed to helping people get new life in our community, to obeying the things that he commanded us to do, like loving our enemies, like being good to people who persecute us. So this is, if you want to be on board with Jesus, this is where he's headed. And this passage is the key to it. It's Matthew 28. So you can't just say, like, I want Jesus to do this for me and just kind of pick and choose like it's a buffet line. Yeah, Jesus will give you life to the full. Jesus will set you free from your bondage, but you got to be headed where Jesus is headed. So how does it work? Maybe you're here today and you're like, I'm not like Cassie. I can't change people. I don't have a way to inspire people around me or to help people around me. Well, I think actually that you do. There's this image here I came across this week of just a little tiny sparkler. We've all had little sparklers, not very big. But I think it's a good image for each one of us, that Jesus has put his grace or his gifts into each one of us. That we all, when we say, Jesus, I want to follow you, that we have some sort of spark inside of us from that point forward. And they're different. So like Jerry has a different spark than Scott has. Okay? It's different still than what Cheyenne has. But everybody's got, who follows Jesus, has this spark that they can share with somebody else. It's this reflection of God's character. The problem is, if you've ever used one of these, they don't do super well by themselves for very long, you know? And if you've ever gone and tried to change your neighborhood by yourself, it probably hasn't gone over very well. If you're trying to do your life right now by yourself, it's probably not going very well. I'm getting some head nods even from people or shakes. Well, let's read what the Bible has to say about this stuff. First, it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Have you ever looked at yourself and thought, man, I don't like that? I look at myself sometimes and think, man, I wish I had some actual muscle on me instead of just like skin and bones, you know? Or maybe you look at yourself and you think like, oh, I wish I was smarter, or I wish I smelled different, or I wish whatever, you know? When you say that, you're not really just critiquing yourself. You're actually critiquing Jesus. Like this verse right here, verse 7 says, Jesus gave you exactly the portion of grace that he gave you. None of us earned our legs. None of us earned our arms or our ears. None of us earned our brains. Jesus gave them to us. And Jesus gives us all sorts of grace. None of us earned the beautiful weather we have today. But he gives every single person the grace that he thinks is right for them. And so when you look at yourself and you think, I wish this or that were different, then you're already headed in the wrong direction. Like Jesus has already put something good in you. And he may need to develop it and make it grow, but the seeds of it are already there. It says, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. So this says, when Jesus got victory on the cross, what did he do with it? He gave us each gifts. So that means as soon as you come to Jesus, Jesus has something for you, has some gift that he gives to you. It may be that you have some sort of passion or talent or ability, and maybe something in your personality, or maybe it's just that you don't quit. I don't know what it is for you, but like I said, it's different for each person in this room. So Jesus gives us each gifts when we follow him. What does he ascended mean? That he also, except that he also descended to the lower earthly region. So Jesus came down to us, and then what did he do when he came down to us? He who descended, it's the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Jesus came down to lift us up. He came down and gave us gifts and now wants to lift us up by using them. And then we're going to get a job description for Bob and I and Wayne. So if you ever want to tell us, like, you're not doing your job, you can use this verse and you'll have some backing behind you. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. This is describing a lot of different types of leadership. But Jesus makes this promise that every single group of Christians, that Jesus is going to give them leaders. Now here at Maywood, we got this structure where we have pastors, and so that's that word you see up there. But we started calling our pastors coaches because of this next verse, because he's going to tell us what we're supposed to do as Christian leaders. Equip Jesus' people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So my role as a pastor is to equip Jerry, to help Jerry know, how does Jerry use his gifts to build up the body of Jesus? So if I go throughout a week and I preach a great sermon and lots of people think it's cool, and then I visit a lot of people in the hospital and I go to a funeral and there's a couple weddings and I organize my office or something. Like, if I do all that stuff, but if I didn't equip anybody else to use their gifts, then I have failed as a pastor. Because Jesus didn't ask me to do a whole list of stuff. Jesus asked pastors to do this. And then you think, well, who's going to visit people in the hospital? Or who's going to help people when they're struggling? Who's going to give somebody a ride who needs to come to church today? Or who's going to... The list could be really long. And I could give you a really long list of people I know in this room who are mowing some widow's grass who can't mow it herself. I know people in this room who are mentoring people who need guidance. I know people in this room who are talking people through their addiction and helping them take the right steps to get out of it. Church is supposed to be a body. We're supposed to actually be Jesus in Independence. The only way we get there, though, is when you start using your gifts for Jesus. So if you're here today and you're thinking, well, I've stopped lying, and I've stopped doing drugs, and I stopped sleeping around, I'm a great Christian, that's actually not the whole package. Like, Christianity isn't about not doing bad stuff. You got to get set free of that bad stuff so you can do the good stuff, so you can be like Jesus in your community. Obviously, if you're sleeping with your neighbor's wife, you can't then go do something loving for your neighbor and be like, oh, I'm such a great Christian, you know? It doesn't work that way. So you got to get victory over sin, but that's just a means to the end of being Jesus to those folks. So Cassie, to use Bob's example again, is able to be like Jesus to people at Inglewood Cafe. Bob and I can't do that. You can be like Jesus to somebody in a way that Bob and I can't. Here's this next verse. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I'm going to hurry up on this last verse. First part, unity. There's somebody in the room that you don't like. If you've been here for very long anyways, maybe if you're brand new, maybe you're still a honeymoon period. But if you've been here for a long time, somebody that kind of rubs you the wrong way. The goal is whether we all like each other or not, we can all work together for Jesus. And actually, if you start working with somebody that you don't just get along with right away, that actually shows Jesus off better to the community. If you start working with somebody who looks different than you, who talks different than you, okay? So we're supposed to be unified. And the last sentence there, the last few words, the fullness of Christ. Read the Gospels, and you'll see Jesus does all sorts of stuff we don't expect him to do. Jesus shows up to a wedding party, and he brings the best to the party. Jesus shows up to a corrupt religious thing, and he starts a huge fight. Jesus shows up when people need food, and they don't have it, and he provides food that they never thought was going to be there. Jesus does all sorts of stuff we wouldn't expect. We as a church should be doing stuff outside of these four walls like Jesus did it. We should be helping people that are getting bullied. We should be standing up for people that nobody else stands up for. We should be setting people free when they've been in bondage from things that Satan has kept them under for years. Okay, so last thought. I showed that little sparkler. Last thought before Donnie comes up. I showed that little sparkler earlier. If you bring a whole bunch of little fires together, though, you can have a big fire. If all of you bring your little spark that God's given you together, then God can do big things through that. And if you've ever been around a campfire, there's something really great, like kind of communal around a campfire, of suddenly guys start sharing stuff that they would have never talked about before. You start cooking stuff that maybe in the light of day wouldn't look very appetizing. But it tastes delicious, you know, because you're sitting there around the campfire. So all this good stuff starts to happen around that campfire. If we would all bring our spark together, there'd be this campfire. I want to show you a picture of a s'more. And how many of you have had a s'more before? Yeah, basically everybody, okay. How many of you had tried to have a s'more at home, like in a microwave or something like that? And keep your hand up if it was really good. a few of you, which I don't trust you, that if you still have your hand up. So, so here's the thing. I don't know who invented s'mores. It was the first people that came up with campfires. I'm sure didn't have s'mores. But you start being around a fire, good stuff starts to come out of that. And it's stuff that you can't really recreate any other way. If we as a church started to all use our gifts together, things we don't even can't even think of right now are going to start to happen. And it's going to be greater than it could ever be if we did it off on our own. So Donnie has a good example of that. That's why we wanted to call him up. So Donnie, come on up. And
that's right.
Okay, so just like a s'more, I feel like Donnie's something we didn't necessarily expect when we were reading Ephesians 4, and yet I think God's using him. So, Donnie, what's a gift that God has given you?
Besides Maywood?
Yeah.
The ability to write music, perform music.
Yeah, so Donnie, in his old life, he used to write and perform music.
Bad music.
Bad music. But when he came to Jesus, Jesus set him free from a lot of things, and it changed that music. And so whereas his music before
was really bad.
Was bad. What effect did it have on people?
I don't know. There's a lot. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah. So it was bad, simply put. So what's the hope about your music now? What's the effect it'll have on people?
I'm praying it brings hope and the love for Jesus.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's good. So think about that. He had this talent in his old life, but when he handed it over to Jesus, that talent went from stirring up something bad to stirring up something good. And when you're thinking, what is my gift? What did God give me as a gift? Think about what's something that God could turn around in my life, turn around and make it be a force for good, okay? So tell me about a little bit about this idea you had.
All right, well, I was at work, and I was thinking about how I could pay back Maywood, because this place, you know, played a big part in saving my life. And I was thinking, what could I do? So I figured I'd put together a music show and sell tickets at the door and give all the money to the youth department or something. And so I called Jake. I said, Jake, do you believe in me? And,
which feels like a trap when someone says that.
It was a trap. But he said, yeah, he believed in me. So I made a suggestion that I had in mind a couple other artists already, Kenneth Jenkins and Dominic Tata, who I had known were, all three of us had been in the lowest part of the game and really, really, really bad off, and we all came out of it because of Jesus. So I figured if we all came together and made music together, we could definitely put on a good show and make some money for the church.
So that was Donnie's idea. And
it didn't go out that way.
It involved several different components. And as we met and talked, me and another leader here at Maywood met with Donnie. Donnie had the idea. Donnie has the gift that God's given him. Donnie even had a team of folks that were going to help him pull it off. But honestly, like, the idea needed a little bit of guidance, you know, because it involved like a trip to Worlds of Fun with the youth and like some really random stuff was going to happen with
it. So Jake and Bob, being the pastors and coaches they are, told me, let's do it for free. So
yeah.
Okay.
So we guided that, said it. You know, why not have it be free, be here, and just focus on the new life that can come out of the message, you know?
And I want to say that as soon as the idea was agreed upon, a whole plethora, I mean, there were so many people that go to this church and that don't go to this church, they wanted to have a part of it, so that the teamwork came together. People like Chucky Moore, who is great at promoting, great at marketing, has his own catering company. He's the one that catered all the food for the free after party afterwards. People like Bryce, who is a videographer, who has an unbelievable talent with the video camera. He's a big part of this show. Adam Arcano, our sound guy. Becca Roberts has played a big part in promoting, and she's just been amazing in helping this come together. I've got a couple of speakers speaking. Barbie Daniels, who, if y'all were here last Easter, she really, really knew how to grab an audience, and so I cannot wait to hear her grab the audience here. Brian English, who basically, you know, he's going to tell you guys, if you don't come, you're going to hell. Thank you, Jesus. So just an amazing team of people, man, and that we all have the same goal to entertain, to, you know, bring hope to the forsaken, the people that have no hope. There's going to be a lot of people from recovering, you know, recover houses and people that are just still struggling in the addiction.
So this kind of take us sideways for a second, but Donnie, are you perfect?
Well, yeah.
Wrong answer. So Donnie's got some work, obviously, still.
And this show has done a lot for me in, as far as giving it over to God and not trying to take control of the whole thing because, yeah, it's hard.
So Donnie's not perfect. He'll be hopefully the first one to tell you that. I was hoping for a different answer there.
I'm not perfect. Not even close.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Donnie didn't wait till he was perfect to come to me with the idea, and I didn't wait till Donnie was perfect to start opening some doors for him either. Okay, we've got, definitely there's some leadership standards and stuff like that, but here's the idea. Like, God's put gifts in you, and Maywood is missing out until you start to use those gifts, okay? As coaches, our best day is when we help one of you guys use your gifts for Jesus. And so Donnie gave us that opportunity, okay? And so it's been exciting to see a whole team of people and then start to use their gifts around that. So when is the event going to be?
It is this Friday, April 28th at 7 p.m. Immediately after the show, we're having food and drink and fellowship in the fellowship hall. It's going to be a great night for clean, sober fellowship.
There you go. So right here in this room?
Right here in this sanctuary. I'm hoping it's all packed. I want to sky, you know, do some crowd surfing and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see what happens, you know. So.
Yeah.
So you're going to give us a sneak peek right now. Tell us about this song, Cutting Ties.
Cutting Ties. It's Cutting Ties with the Devil. Jesus came in my life. He took control. And in order for him to have complete control of my life, I needed to cut ties with my last relationship. And that's what this is about. Just getting rid of him and tell him, see ya.
So Donnie's going to sing this song for us. As he sings, be thinking about the transformation that Donnie's gone through, but also what it's like when you hand over yourself to Jesus. Jesus gives you a gift. So thank you, man.
Thank you. Everybody stand, please. Don't be scared of the genre. It's just hip-hop. If you take away the music, it's all about Jesus. Music.
You were there for me when I was home all alone. You gave me confidence that I can make it on my own. My pride and ego had me thinking that I was a man, that I was different and my parents didn't understand. And you were there for me when I was living on the streets. You introduced me to the things that I'd never seen. And you were there the first time I ever smoked weed. And you was there the first time I ever took a drink. You made the things of this world look so beautiful. The fast money, the fast women, irresistible. You gave me something to look forward to. You gave me dreams. Made me believe that all I wanted was the finer things. And you convinced me that if I wanted something, I had to take it. You told me no one cared about me, that they always faking. You swore to me that if I worshipped you, I'd have a life. Well, you were right, but I don't want it, so I'm cutting ties.
Now I'm cutting ties. I don't want you no more. I follow Jesus Christ. He's my Savior, my Lord. Cause He loves me and He freed me from all that you are. Now I'm cutting ties. I don't need you anymore.
I remember back when the first time that I caught a case. I tried to turn to Jesus, then you laughed up in my face. I wasn't worthy of His help. He wasn't wasting His time. You said that I could handle it and everything would be fine. Well, 5 years later when they released me back to the streets, you was there to welcome me back in the arms of the beast. And everything had felt so new, but nothing had changed. And this cycle would continue over and over again. You brought the meth in my life. I seen your face in a pipe. And every time I took a hit, I felt your presence inside. And you could look in my eyes and see the absence of light. My soul was empty, man, I just wanted to die. I let you trick me into thinking that I was better off dead. No one would even miss me, man. That's what you said, couldn't get you out of my head. You had control of my mind. Well, that was yesterday, dawg. Today, I'm cutting
now
ties.
Now I'm cutting ties. I don't want you no more. I follow Jesus Christ. He's my Savior, my Lord. Cause He loves me and He freed me. All that you are, now I'm cutting ties. I don't need you anymore.
Look, when I say I'm cutting ties, this is what I mean. I wash my hands with you, dog. I wash them clean.
I found someone else, man. We make the perfect team. I follow his direction now to victory. He took me out of my depression. He gave me life. He filled me with this Holy Spirit. Can you feel that fire? Can you feel his presence, his light that shines so bright? That's my Lord, my Father. That's my Savior. That's Jesus Christ. You see, he was there from the very beginning. And you see, he was aware of every sin I was sinning. But you see, he doesn't care now because he's very forgiving. I am one of his children, so he's the reason I'm living. And he's the reason why I'm surrounded by all these people that love me. And he's the reason why I'm surrounded by all these people that trust me. There ain't no room for you no more. So get your stuff and get it moving. I'm cutting ties with you, Satan, because I'm tired of losing.
Ties, I don't want you no more. I follow Jesus Christ. He's my Savior, my Lord. Because he loves me and he freed me from all that you are. Now I'm cutting ties. I don't need you anymore.
Bye, Felicia.
This is good stuff. God is good. If you're here today and you heard that song, you think, I want to cut ties. I want to make a change. We're going to have some people on stage here in just a minute, and they would love to pray with you. There's some of our small group leaders will be up here talking to you about how do you do what Donnie was doing. How do you get free? If you're here today and you think, I've got Jesus, but I want to start using my gifts, please come and talk to one of the coaches. We'd love to get you involved in using your gifts for Jesus. I want to pray a blessing over you guys. I want to pray that we can see the opportunities that God has for us. If you guys will bow your heads. Jesus, we believe that this is our moment. That Jesus, you have us here at Maywood for a reason. Jesus, help us to have the hope and the courage and the love to use our gifts for you. Amen. Go in peace.